Hi, this is Mike.
Ciao 2D, this is Dave.
Hey, this is Emma.
Ciao 2T. Hi, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral Podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community. This is episode 161. And oh my God, it makes me feel old just thinking of a big number like that.
Yeah.
How's everybody been? We've got a special guest with us, by the way. In case you didn't recognise you, that was Emma. Hello, Emma. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, thank you.
You can wave, but that won't pick up on the audio. All right.
I forget that. Hey,
how have you been?
Not too bad, thank you. Working loads, but yeah, good.
Working loads, oh, that sounds rubbish.
Yeah, oh,
adulting like a mad person. Fair enough. All right. Well, you adult away. Hopefully the next half hour or so will be an opportunity for you to throw the adult side away or put it in a dark corner, don't look at it or something, and we can just talk like we do when we get together in a pub somewhere. Dave, how are you? Ciao, no, tutti, and all that kind of stuff.
Obviously feeling a little bit Italian.
Indeed.
That is the limit of my Italian, though, I have to say. Beyond that, nothing.
So you just sort of walk into places and just go, hello, everybody, and then that's all you do. Yeah,
that's it. Enough. That's me done.
Fair enough.
No, okay. I've been on the garden, actually. I've been planting out some pumpkins.
And that's not a euphemism, is it? That actually, literally planting out some pumpkins. That could be taken completely the wrong way. No. But we're going to make it rude. I'm going to head to my room and plant out some pumpkins. Okay. fair enough. What about you, Mike? How have you been?
I'm good, thanks. I've just come back from Italy again.
It's just like, this podcast is basically predicated on when Mike's in the UK to record it. So always going to start with, I'm just back from Italy. So
I saw Metallica whilst I was there. So
you did, yes. How were they? Were they still Metallica-y?
They were, but I've seen them better. I think the night before when they played in Munich, it was like there was a storm during the entire gig.
Right.
And they had to change the jackets multiple times, and I think it affected James because in Milan he was on form but not on all full cylinders when he was doing his stuff, so maybe he was getting sick.
I see. So you're saying that he had a cold? He changed his jacket multiple times, and that affected James.
Changing
his clothes, or
no? It was that wet. Like looking at the footage the night before, anyone else would cancel the gig. So doing that for over 2 hours, it's probably not the best thing to do. And then another gig the day after.
Did they play enough songs from Ride the Lightning, you know, in the storm? It feels like they should have done. Do you know what I think?
Well, funnily enough, when they were doing that's when the storm was the night before.
Nice. That's Metallica for you. They can pay for weather. That's what they
exactly.
do. That's what
exactly.
they do. Iron Maiden have Spitfires flying over, and Iron Maiden have storms during Ride the Lightning.
Yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, it was great that I've seen them. Well, I think that was the 18th time I've seen them. So
okay.
It was a good show. The organisation was terrible, but that's...
Yeah, you don't go to shows for organisation, do you?
No, it's especially worse with it being where it was in Italy. It took forever to get back. But
fair enough.
It's one of those things.
It's the price you pay of going to other countries to
exactly.
see music in the middle of nowhere or whatever.
Yeah.
What have I been up to? I watched that program that you watched, Little Reindeer, whatever it's called, Baby Reindeer.
Reindeer. Reindeer.
Yeah, I watched Baby Reindeer. I figured I might have to watch it before it gets removed from Netflix because the woman's suing them for it being a true story. It was all right, actually. It's quite entertaining. I like the fact that it didn't feel like a written story. Like, there were ways that you thought by the third act, you thought this story is going to go in this direction, but it didn't. And it felt more natural as a consequence. You know what I mean? It was quite uncomfortable to watch sometimes and stuff. It was good. It was good. When I'm not watching that, I'm waiting for the 13th of June, like a madman. But it's both my daughter's birthday, which is, you know, a good reason to look forward to a date. But it's also Bridgerton's back. So I'm looking forward to
Bridgerton,
are you? Mate, so you need to understand that I love Jane Austen, right? I've always loved Jane Austen. She's like up there, one of my probably my top three favourite authors. So any kind of Regency stuff, I'm well up for. I well at four, and I really enjoy Bridgerton anyway. So there you go. It's my little secret guilty pleasure. Actually, no, it's not guilty. I'm quite happy for everybody to know that.
There's no such thing as guilty pleasure.
Oh, I think there is. Planting pumpkins. Planting pumpkins is definitely a guilty pleasure. So. Anyway, enough of that. Right, okay. So, Emma, you've joined us today on the podcast. Let's talk a bit about you, okay? And talk about the community. And, yeah, let's start there, shall we? So, Dave, you said let's get Emma on the podcast. Give me a little bit of background on why you thought that was a crazy idea and a good one as well.
Because Emma's lovely.
It's the right answer. It's the right answer. You passed the test.
Specifically, I think Emma epitomizes how the community can work so well.
Right.
Because I am not an outgoing person whatsoever. Very, very high levels of anxiety. I've got not social issues, but social reservations, shall we say. So
okay.
I find it very difficult to mingle, to interact. The Coiler community is one of those families, and I will use the word family because it is, that is always so welcoming. It's very easy to meet new people, to say hello to strangers, and to feel accepted. And more than anyone, I think Emma has proved that. Even when I didn't know her by name, I've seen her at numerous shows. You know, the tall girl standing right in front of me.
He's standing right in front of you.
So
that old mic. Really,
a face.
For God's sake, we need more short people in the community. Oh, sorry.
A familiar face that you recognise at the Lacuna Call shows. And as the community, as you become more involved in the community, you get to know people, you get to know names, you start chatting. And honestly, Emma has become one of my best friends.
Oh, because of it. Yeah, awesome. Very, very good. Well, there you go, Lynn. That's a great lead in, Emma. So you've been bigged up big time. Tell us about you. Tell us about how you got involved in Lacuna Coil. First shows, etc.
So I think I got into Lacuna Coil somewhere around 2004, I think. And actually,
about three at the time, actually, surely.
Three. I was probably about 16, 17, I think, at the time.
Right, okay. And
the first song I actually heard was Humane from Comalize. And I heard it and I was like, wow. And then I went into listening to the rest of the album. And I think the first show I went to would have been their acoustic show that they had at the Scala, which I think was 05, I think.
Sounds about right.
Somewhere around that. I mean, my memory of dates and things is pretty shocking. But I was like, wow, this is a band that I really, really like. And then from there, I think I was a bit of a slow burner in terms of I had quite a lot of friends that were sort of into going to gigs and stuff, but they were all very much like, we're not going to listen to support. We're going to get there as the main band comes on. And I went to quite a few shows. And unfortunately, you end up being right at the back. You know, when the band are coming on, you don't get that hype as much as you get because you're sort of bustling in the door. But it just went from there. I mean, obviously, I'm not a seasoned Coiler as much as, say, you or Mike that have been to, 1,001 shows. But something like that now. I think I can't actually remember what year. I was saying to Dave earlier that I met you and Mike. I don't know what show that was at when we finally sort of said hello.
Don't know. But we've had a few pub sessions in London, haven't we, for sure? But I don't know. Yeah, it kind of grows organically, doesn't it? That kind of being part of the community, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's grown exponentially since COVID. Obviously, the COVID karaoke really kind of ignited everybody and sort of united everybody, I think. Gave everyone an opportunity to speak to people that, you know, not everyone can go to shows in other countries. So the likelihood of bumping into someone who lives in America, you know, down the street is pretty thin, but being able to talk to them online and then sometimes do get into meet up is just fantastic, really.
Yeah, you're right. I think the COVID karaoke absolutely both filled a kind of a required, I guess, niche in our desire to be social and to enjoy Lacuna Coil in a way that, you know, we couldn't otherwise do. And I think it did, as you said just now, create connections, which are really, really important. Prior to listening to Humane all those years ago, what kind of music were you into, or are you into? You know, is Lacuna Court an outlier in your musical taste, or was it just a natural part of what the kind of music you listen to?
I'd say back then I was into all sorts of music. I mean, my dad has got a fantastic music taste, and he brought me up on things like Black Sabbath. So I already had a sort of an ear for heavier music, I guess. But it was really, I suppose, I was kind of into the lighter stuff as well, like the Linkin Park side of things. That was kind of, you know. And then when I heard Lacuna Coil, it kind of made me want to hear more, really kind of go into listening to other bands and broadening my horizons, I guess.
And you said your first show was at Scala, right? The Scala.
Yeah, it was a Scala show. Yeah.
And are you the sort of person that keeps a track of the number of shows you've been to?
I wish I could. I'm not very good. I'm quite disorganized, and I'd like to do what Dave does, which is a scrapbook, because my memory of dates and things, and especially now with gig tickets, you don't get that physical gig ticket.
No, it just, you'd be lucky.
That for me was fantastic. You know, you could see all your gigs, but I don't know how many shows that I've seen, but more than 20, but I don't know the exact number.
Okay. All right, one day you'll have to go back and start going, Do I remember being at that one?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have like a favourite show that you've been to, or a favourite event that you were involved in?
It's so difficult, isn't it? Because each show is just different for different reasons. But I really, really enjoyed the 119 show. And the reason that I did was that build up to it, the meet up with everybody, the real hype of not really knowing exactly what was going to happen. There was no, you know, in terms of people sort of knew the set list, but didn't know exactly what was going to happen. For me, that whole experience was just fantastic. And then getting to see it in Milan for the second time and doing that meet and greet on the...
the buses. Well, the on, the, on the they weren't buses, were they? They were trams. Sorry,
the trams. That's the way I was looking for. Just really, really mind blowing, to be honest.
Yeah, that was an amazing time, wasn't it? I think the 119 show must be up there as one of, if not my favourite show. And not necessarily because of the set list, but because you said earlier about you don't get a chance to see people from all over the world. But for me, the 119 show was, considering how long I've been involved in the community, there were people that I'd spoken to online or been part of Empty Spiral for, you know, nearly 20 years. And this is the first time I got to meet them.
Yeah.
That was just incredible. And I remember looking along the front row at the 119 show and just seeing so many familiar faces. Do you know what I mean? Like the entire row was like, yeah. And you kind of... Yeah. West Coast America, East Coast America, you know, South America. It was just like, was this an incredible global kind of participation in this show? When was the first time you met the band, if you remember that?
I do. I'd been to Seek Hall quite a few times, but never kind of, again, I was with people that weren't into like the sort of doing meet and greets and things like that. So I think the first time I actually met the band wasn't until 2011, and that was when they played Folkestone. I missed the London show on that tour, but did the Folkestone one and got to meet the band after, which was amazing.
Are you going to any of the shows in October?
Yes, hopefully. Tickets are booked, thanks to Dave. The source of time off work, I'm there for all of them. Yeah.
Awesome. So, Humane, first song you heard, obviously quite a few albums ago now. And I think it's fair to say their music has evolved over the years. Certainly, you know, the most recent album they put out is Comalize XX, which of course, not only celebrating 20 years of the album, but also I think a really good reflection on how the music has changed. So do you have a favorite song or favorite three songs from the band? Well, ones that you go back to, whether old, new, or somewhere in between?
It's so difficult because I find, depending on what is going on in my life, my music changes. So sometimes I'm like, oh my God, that's my favourite, and I can listen to it over and over. And then other times I'm like, no, this really fits in, and I really, really enjoy it. It's really difficult for me to pick the top three, I think.
You can at least try, for God's sake, Cal, come on.
Okay, so one is going to be Humaine, just purely based on the fact that I heard that first and it sort of resonates with me. I really, really have a love for Entwined as well. I think the XX version is just, it just hits differently now. And to what it was, I really enjoy it much more. And the third one, oh, this is difficult. You're really putting me on the spot. I should have made notes about this.
Sorry.
Thing is so difficult to think back. I guess, and I just think purely from a live gig thing, I really enjoy hearing Swamped.
Mm. A lot of people's favourites.
Yeah. Just thinking back to gigs and things, I really enjoy when that one comes on.
It's almost a reliable song, isn't it?
Reliable is a good word.
I find Swamped a very emotional song for me. Things have occurred during when Swamp's been played, and it's kind of one of those songs that I almost, when it comes on, I almost don't look forward to it because I know I'm going to react emotionally to it, if that makes sense. And, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's one of those things I kind of almost have a little bit of anxiety when I know Swamp's going, when Swamp's about to start, I go, oh, here we go, you know, it's going to time to reflect quite a lot on what that song means to me, which is a great thing, right? It's a great thing. Entwined, you said that obviously the XX version's changed, but it's really kicked up. So is it you prefer the XX version of Entwined?
I don't know if I prefer it, but I certainly hear it with different ears, if that makes sense. There's uh-huh. different things about it that I really, really enjoy. And I think for me, I deliberately... before the Milan show, didn't listen to any XX. So hearing that live, I was blown away by the differences, I guess.
That was the Milan show was really, really interesting because there are a number of people that did say to me, do you listen to the album before you go or do you hear it first, live first? Mm. I vaguely remember saying, I probably said this on the podcast before, that my advice was, if you have the choice, don't listen to it until you listen to it live. Because yeah. how rarely do you get that opportunity to listen to a song which you're going to be in some way, shape or form familiar with it because you'd have heard it, the original, but you're going to hear a reinterpretation or a remaking of it for the first time and you're going to hear it live. It just doesn't happen, does it? So is it... No.
Much bigger impact.
Yeah, exactly. Much bigger impact.
I think we had that discussion at the airport as well, didn't we?
I think we did, yeah. Been probably in a Wetherspoons over a burger or a breakfast or something, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I think in some respects I'm a little jealous of those people that had that experience. Do you know what I mean? Like not having the opportunity to hear it live for the first time. Once you'd heard it, then did you just immediately play it on your iPhone or whatever, or did you leave it a little while to reflect on before you started listening to the songs?
I think I listened to it straight away. I think I wanted to be reminded of that moment because I think with gigs, you all that build up and you're so excited for it, and then now or an hour and a half just seems to go by within 30 seconds. So doesn't it? You're like all of a sudden the gig's over, you're leaving the venue, and it's like wow. Like,
yeah,
I was on high that I just needed to keep that high going, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I always feel that Lacuna Corporate play for no more than about 15 minutes because it's just over. And I'm like, wait, what? No, come on, guys, more songs, please. Yeah, I always feel that's the case, and I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels that way. So, I guess my final question, and it's a question I kind of we ask everybody that comes on. So what does being a Lacuna Corps fan mean to you, Emma?
It just, I think for me, just feels like a sense of unity, I guess. I feel like I'm part of something, more so than perhaps with other bands that you go to gigs for. I just feel like it's got a family would be the right word to use that Dave used earlier. It's just the band, you know, release great music, we get to go to gigs, and there's just a family that unites everybody across the world. And it's just a, you know, you've got all sorts of different things going on with a band now that not every band offer. Things like, what am I trying to use? Like, look, Christina, for instance, does her Twitch. You've got live videos. You've got Instagram lives and things. And they really try and be part of, you know, getting everyone together. And I just think it's fantastic, really. I think especially after COVID, it just really helped. Bring everyone together.
Yeah, completely agree.
You're saying about the sense of family in the community. Part of what I find helps so much in Lacuna Core's case that I don't see really with any other bands is the hands-on approach that the band have in terms of the connection with their extended family.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So they really are personable and approachable, and they feel part of the family, not the head of the family or the reason for the family, but a part of it, integrated with the fans. And that really, really seems to make a lot of difference to many, many people, even in terms of the acceptance, if they've got social difficulty, if I myself, or stretching that out to mental well-being, it can make a huge difference knowing that the band have your back, not just fellow fans, but the actual band you idolize, they've got you.
That's a really, really good point. Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And I think, you know, certainly for me, Christina's Twitch community or sub-community or whatever you want to call it, clearly it's a two-way thing, right? It absolutely is a two-way thing. And it was it's quite amazing to see the effort over months and months and months that people put into celebrating Christina's birthday with her. Just outstanding, isn't it? It really is. It's inspiring. I know a number of people get involved in that every year, and I kind of wonder where it's going to go. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what are you going to do next? You know, so remind us, Emma, Dave, which of you don't mind, what happened this year then? So just while we're on this particular subject, I think it's interesting to talk about, because she's just had her birthday, for those of you who haven't been keeping count.
Well, yeah, normally there's someone who kicks off an idea and says, what are we going to do this year? There's various forums and direct messages between fans where these conversations tend to start, a lot of them even on Cree's own Twitch chat during the lives. So ideas are thrown out, and I know everyone here, we've all been involved in sort of submitting little video clips for whoever's compiling them at the time over previous years. So this year it was mostly down to Somnus and Gloria, who were organizing these yeah. ideas, collating them. And so we'll do a fake, like a fantasy festival t-shirt style of Coilerfest. Yeah. So it was all our nicknames, usernames that were done in band logo style fonts compiled onto this t-shirt, which Chris seemed to like particularly. And also this a rather amazing video of photos of the fans with Christina or the Lacuna Core merch that were compiled into a storyboard it reinforces the community spirit, the feel of it, how Christina sort of and the Twitch community in this instance particularly has brought everyone together.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I think it's, as you said, both of you have said, it's a reflection of that feeling of it being like a family, right? So, and I cannot imagine how overwhelming it must be for Christina to get that kind of support from a global community. Incredible. Yeah, definitely. And we're all part of it, which is amazing, isn't it? So I do love the feeling of community, of family that has grown up around the band. And I love the fact, as you said, Dave, that they not only encourage it, but they're part of it as well, which I think is just amazing. So if you needed any more reason to become a Lacuna Core fan, then this is another one. Yeah, take this as well, that you can be part of a really welcoming community where people care about each other and the band care about you as well. You know, as you say, it's a well-being thing. Anyway, Emma, thank you so much for joining us today on the Empty Spiral podcast. It's always great to see you. And I'm sure there'll be an exchange of hugs the next time we're in the same place together. And I can't wait to catch up with you and maybe share a few JD and Cokes when we in October. Are you staying with us to review Tightrope? Have you got a little bit of time for us today?
I've still got some time, unless you want to keep me there.
We're boarding you now. Go.
Eject. Eject like the ejector seat out of James Bond. There she goes. That. So we're not ejecting you. Don't worry. You're safe with us. All right, okay, well, let's move on to the review of Tightrope XX. We first reviewed this back in episode, I want to say 43, way, way back, easily over 10 years ago on the Empty Spiral podcast. Well, things have kind of changed. So let's start. Let's start with Mike. Mike, give me your views of Tightrope XX. Come on in. What do you think of this one?
I love it compared to the
other. That was easy.
Yeah, wow. No, just comparing it to the old version. The old version was 4:14. Just looking back at it earlier, and it's slower pace if you compare the two now. Here we have the same, almost the same type of build up compared to the old one, but it's a heavier opening, and you've got Mackie as the singer doing the. That's him, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, he does a lot of that stuff. That started to come out. That was one of his admissions recently. That he does a lot of singing.
So we got Mackie doing that bit. But to me, it's not like the old one. It's different in a different style and different way that works better for me.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sort of. I might quiz you on that.
The guitars are more subtle in the background, but the drums, compared to the old one, are heavier and more at the forefront with it, which I think makes it work. Christina sings the main chorus in a different key, which to me, completely different from the old version and works better. The only thing that I laugh about is the drum solo where there's no dink.
We needed the dink, didn't we? The little, I would assume was a triangle. But it's not, exactly. I know what you mean.
But the drums to me make it. I mean, it's very heavy as a song, and it's, well, we can talk about it all of us live as well. I think it works, but it's not, the simple guitars in the background are what it needs more than anything.
But, fair enough. Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. What about you, Emma? What do you think of it? Tightrope XX.
I really enjoy it. I like Tightrope, the original, obviously, but I really enjoy the fact that obviously now Andy's growls very different to what back then, and I think it really harmonises the song, and it really brings it into a sort of modern, heavier twist, and I really enjoy that.
Fair enough. Musically, what do you think of the differences?
I definitely think there's a lot more energy in this song. I mean, even though there's still that build up from the original to this one, I think this one's a lot more higher impact. I think there was a lot slower impact in the other one, and I just think it's more high paced. I really enjoy it. And live, I think it is really, really good.
Yeah, I have this feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of Tightrope XX in live sets going forward. I mean, it was kind of for a long time, like Tightrope was a bit of a mainstay of their Coma Lies era set, and even into Carmico we would see it. Because it's got that heaviness and it's got that kind of that particular vibe. I have this feeling we're going to be seeing this one for a while. Yeah. What about you, Dave? What are your thoughts on it?
Brilliant. Absolutely.
That was easy.
What I've noticed, I've got a little note in my thoughts that just says the Mary Poppins effect, because it's practically perfect in every way.
Oh, look at that. Bit of a call out to Mary Poppins for those of you who even know who Mary Poppins is. There we go.
No, I think they've done everything right.
What we don't need is a rendition of Chim Chimney, mate. Okay, so.
Well, that'll be interesting. I mean, the first one, the original, was great. And I know Mackie's got problems with it, with, you know, not particularly liking it.
Yeah.
It's one of his favourite songs. But I don't, there's no excuses for not loving this.
Yeah.
They actually, Mike, you said it felt different. It's like kind of changed vibe, I guess.
And yeah, yeah.
Similarly, I think the best I can explain is that it used to be sci-fi and now it's horror. In my mind, that there's a certain feeling of the song. It's not like it's the soundtrack to Friday the 13th or something, but it was definitely a sci-fi feeling in my mind when I was listening to it on the original.
Okay.
And now it's not. It's darker.
You think it's that in that initial piano kind of synth, dun, 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 dun. It's like that's giving you a bit of a horror thing, I'm sure. A little
it could be. It could be. But
everyone loves a bit of this growl piano.
But it is. It's the growl vocals. It's the lower key for the main sort of chorus for the Cree sings. It's all these little elements that build up. Even the drumming that Mike also picked up on, that it seemed there's a different feeling to it. There's heavier flurries and fills. It's almost like a heart palpitation that you're hearing.
Okay.
And it's all these little elements that pull together and think, yes, the whole vibe is slightly different. I can't quite put my finger on it. So sci-fi to horror is the best I can kind of come up with.
I like it. I like what you did there. It was the first single for Caramelized XX, wasn't it? And then released it.
It was a very good choice of one as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. I really kind of, I think some of the times when we were reviewing the songs of Caramelized XX, we kind of go, this is almost unrecognizable and it's very different from the original. And there are others where we go, they could have changed more. This isn't quite enough. I think from what I'm hearing from all of you is this one where they got the balance completely right and they've changed enough of it and give it its own identity without losing something from the original. My own thoughts on this. So I think it's fair to say that for about 20 years, I probably was in of the view that Tightrope didn't really need anything new done to it. It was a perfectly good song, right? Love seeing it live. Always felt one of the heavier songs on the set list when they were in the kind of the Caramelized era. I also, and I know you said, Emmy, you like the balanced growl vocals from Andy. I really like the clean vocals from Andy on this one. And I think that created a nice key change from Christina's vocals. But I think you're right. The growl vocals are reinforcing that Beauty and the Beast element. Really, really works in this one. I always like the build up in the original, though, which is a little longer, a little bit more drawn out, and the way it kicks in and the radio mix that's sort of is in the mix, or the radio that's in the mix throughout, and it comes to the fore, which you don't quite get with XX. But I think XX has got that punchiness to it. And as has already been said, it's significantly shorter. Okay, you know, we go from, 415 to 337. That's a big difference. But it's faster, isn't it? It's a much faster song. And when I listen to Tyro now, I'm like, get on with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a terrible thing to say because I love Tightrope, but now it just feels like, come on, get on with it, you know, give me that speed that I get from Tightrope XX. One thing I really like, and I don't know if you guys notice it as well, you talked about that Christina has a key change, but it's the last chorus that she sings, from what I can tell. She sings it like Tightrope, the original.
Oh, the original, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that. I love it. It's like a little kind of, it may not be obvious to people, but it's like a real kind of, here's a reminder of where we came from with this song.
The homage to the past with it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And because every, you know, the three other or two other choruses and, you know, everything else has got that different tone to it, the different emphasis. But this one goes back to that, and I really, really like it.
It's almost like their equivalent of an 80s key change, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it is. You sort of pop it back, and you get that kind of sense of, oh, yeah, I remember how what it was like. So you kind of don't need to go back to listen to Tightrope to see how this one is different, because they basically give you that. And I think that's another reason why this works as a song. Live, you get the arm waving. Who doesn't love a bit of exaggerated arm waving? We love that, right? Yeah. I think anytime a song encourages participation from the audience, whether it's simple lyrics everybody can sing or scream along to, or something which everybody can do together, you know, whether it's jump in or whether it's the exaggerated arm waving, it just feels like you're kind of part of the song. So I love that right from the outset, when they first sang this live, Christina was giving us the arm waving and everybody got into it. And, you know, more recent live videos, we've seen them, thousands of people are waving their arms from side to side. You know, I just, it's simple, but it's evocative and it works. Lyrically, we talked about this over 10 years ago, and I was watching the video, and the video is essentially a science experiment, right? Remember, you got the scientists and they're in their retro equipment, they're putting tapes in which have got the comalized kind of logo on it, or the new one, you know, with the one that we with the thorns on it, and it feels like an experiment is being performed. And what I really like is it's good to see the band in the black robes. Right, which is what they did when they did Home Alive event back in 22. And I love those robes. I love to see them again. Okay, but there's something here. I very rarely comment on Christina's looking videos, but there's something about Cree's look in this, okay? The makeup, the bright red of the what I call the claw marks, the three claw marks across her eyes, the very red lipstick. I mean, we'll say this most of the time anyway, but in this particular video, Christina Scabbia looks stunning, absolutely stunning. It's one of those looks that kind of makes you go, wow. Do you know what I mean? And when I watched it again recently, I was like, okay, this is an amazing look for her. And I don't know whether it's because of the whiteness of the eyes and the redness of the lips, and generally the rest of the video is quite dark with all the black robes and stuff. So she's gives colour to it, but it really makes it bring to fore. I was like, wow, Cree, you look amazing in that one. And I've said that to her. Okay. I do feel like I want a little bit more of a story in the video, but then I thought about this and thought, what am I actually seeing here? And I think this is a really clever video, and I'll tell you why. I think when you look at the lyrics of Tightrope, thematically, it's about someone experimenting with someone else's emotions. All right? You think about it. If you read the lyrics, okay. You're made of ice. I pay the price for all your unforgiveness. Enlightening lies in my shame, between the veil of your flow. Don't want to deny in your mouth, etc. There's a lot of, I think, subtext in there about relationships and someone abusing someone else in an emotional sense, or at least experimenting with someone. And what we see in the video is essentially a physical experiment, which is building up and building up to the point where it explodes. i.e. there's a loss of control. So I think I think thematically, the video, though it doesn't have a story, ties in really well with the lyrics. That's for sure. My final thoughts on that. Let's get some numbers. So to give you some context, Mike, you gave this 9 out of 10 back in 2013 or whenever it was. You gave Tightrope 9 out of 10. I gave it 9 out of 10 as well. Mike, what are you going to give it now? What are you giving Tightrope XX?
I would give it an upgrade and a solid 10.
Whoa, boom. Wow, full on 10 out of 10. Okay. What about you, Emma? I know, you appreciate you've not rated Tightrope, but what would you give Tightrope XX?
I'd give it 10 as well. I think it's a really well done version. Really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it.
Two tens, Dave. Three, 10. Like Aeon, you hate it.
No. An absolute Mary Poppins worthy 10.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, is what you should have said there.
It is.
Okay. I can't give it a 10.
Boo.
I know, I'm going to get beaten up there, and I later.
I only really... I'll tell you a reason you should give it a 10.
Go on.
It's because it's gone from a great song that they've somehow managed to better and turn into an anthem. And that's very... You can write an anthem. A song can be an anthem from the start, but changing one that wasn't necessarily an anthem before, but it is now, that deserves a 10.
I'm going to get forced into a corner on this one. I was going to give it a 9.5 for sure. I reserve 10s for very, very few songs. But you might be right. Do you know what? All right, fine. It's a 10. I'm giving it a 10.
Yay, right?
It's getting 10 across the board. I've been beaten, forced into a corner, emotionally experimented on. All right. I now need to go and watch Mary Poppins, presumably, to get a kind of real understanding of the subcontext.
Right, Dave, Mary Poppins for the live shows, aren't you, Dave?
That can happen.
That's what we want. We'll come, definitely come along as Mary Poppins and throw bird seed all over the same. Eat the birds. All right, listen. Or fly a kite afterwards. Sorry, I'm really pushing my Mary Poppins law here. Okay, all right. So I've conceded that it does notch itself up to a 10 out of 10 song. I agree with your point that it has taken an already great song and made it even better, made it anthemic. The video supports it really, really well. Yeah, okay. Tightrope, 10 out of 10. So Mike 10, Emma 10, Dave 10, Matt 10. Wonder if it's going to be any other songs on Comalize that's going to be able to get up there to the dizzy heights of Tightrope. Well, that's it. I've been browbeaten into giving a 10. That rarely happens. Thanks for that, by the way. We've had a great conversation with Emma. We've talked about Tightrope XX. I guess we got at some stage when, you know, presumably Mike comes back from Italy whenever he's over there again. We'll get a chance to record another Empty Spiral podcast. But firstly and foremost, I want to thank Emma for joining us today. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time to talk about this stuff and put up with us weirdos.
Really, anytime.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Dave and Mike, as always, it's an absolute pleasure chatting with you guys, find out what we have to say about the community and about the Kuna Core songs. I'm really excited for the next half year. You know, we're looking, seeing a new album. We know the music's being made. They're in the recording studio, all of those kind of cool things. I'm sure there'll be more interviews. And of course, ultimately, we'll get to see more new music at live shows and get to talk about it as well, which is also cool. For everybody else who's listening, if you've not listened to the Empty Spiral podcast before, where have you been for the rest of our lives? So come and join us. You can join us anytime you want on the podcast. Come and talk about your own experiences, getting to fall in love with Lacuna Core, what you like, what you love, all those kind of cool stuff. You'll find us on emptyspiral.net. That's our official website. But we've also got a Discord channel. The link's on the website. And we're on Facebook. And we haven't quite made LinkedIn, although the band have. But anyway, enough of that. We'll talk about that another time. And I've given up on X, but we know that already. So it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. If you like the podcast, do give us a thumbs up or a rating or something on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, just so that more people get a chance to see the crazy stuff that we talk about, or listen to the crazy stuff we talk about, I should say. But until next time, listen to more Lacuna Coil. This is Matt signing off.
This is Mike signing off.
Emma signing off.
And what are you going to say? Like, arrivederci or ciao?
It's ciao again, isn't it? For goodbye. It's multi-purpose words.
It is,
so I'm going to stick to that. It's just about the only Italian I know. So ciao.